You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday morning, April 28th. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, Be an Overcomer.
Take your Bible, go to 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 13. By the way, I'm preaching a message tonight on hang in there. Hang in there. And if I was going to miss a message, I'd miss this one this morning and come tonight. Now, don't leave. Joseph just got up and started to walk out the door. God bless you, son. That's okay. Brother Bell would have knocked you out. That's what he would have did. But, don't leave. But come tonight. Look, I'm telling you, the message tonight will change your life if you come. It really will. I want just hang in there, you know. You'll enjoy it tonight. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 13, here's what it says. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Look in verse 14. Here's what the Bible says. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. There's a re-emphasis there. I write unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome, watch what it says, the wicked one. Now, how is it that we can be an overcomer? I met with a businessman that is in our church, a new believer that has come to our church recently and was saved and was baptized. I met with him, and he said, Preacher, let me tell you my story. He started telling the story and how he got messed up in drugs, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, I just got off track completely as the devil hoodwinked me and tried to ruin my life. And he said this. He said, I've been clean for 6 months. He said, I'm trying to live for Christ now. And to use these words, I am becoming an overcomer. I thought that is neat. Every Tuesday through Friday, I have opportunity, God has kind of opened another window for me, and I don't know why this is happening. We have a lot of pastors. We have about 5,000 people that listen to the podcast every week, as far as I think some downloads and stuff like that. And among that 5,000 people is several pastors around our country. And so it's almost become a common thing now that as I'm driving to work and coming in, I have a half hour that's budgeted that I tell pastors. They'll call me up and they'll say, Preacher, I need some advice. I need some counsel. I've got some things going on in my life, my family life, my church life. I don't know what to do. Could you give me some insight? And so the first thing I do when I leave the house, I have appointments that these guys will call me up and they'll say, can I talk to you? And I'll say, well, look, we'll just go ahead and just schedule it as I drive into work. That'd be your time because it's just me driving in. Nobody can hear what we're talking about. And so I'll be there for you. And so now Tuesday through Friday, as I'm driving into work, I'm always on the phone. And pastors are calling from around the nation to be able to say, look, I need some help. I need some encouragement. I need, if you will, please, somebody that I can talk to that will understand some of the complexities I'm having in my life, my family life, or my church life. And I'm honored. I'm honored to walk beside preachers. I love preachers. I've always loved preachers and have served them. And so, but I'm honored to be able to do that. What are we talking about in most of our conversations? It is about one word, overcoming. And so I want to talk to you this morning about be an overcomer. The word overcome means this. It means to prevail. The word overcomer means this. By the way, it's talking about who you are and what you do rather than where you are. Somebody says, well, I cannot overcome because of my surroundings. That's not true. You've been hoodwinked by the devil. Has nothing to do with where you are. Being an overcomer has everything to do with who you are and what you are. Now, how is it that we can become the right person in order to be an overcomer? What are some things that we can do? Let me give you a couple of statements. They're worthy of writing down. Statement number one, be in the place of an overcomer. Be in the place of an overcomer. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, all right? And so you see that there was a veil that was put over the face. May I say that when Jesus Christ shed his blood on Calvary and paid the price that he did, the veil was lifted. Matter of fact, the Bible says that the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom. And so there is nothing between you and your God. There's nothing between you and your Christ. May I say, the Bible says there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so we don't have any person that is a go-between between us and Christ. No, you have complete accessibility to Jesus Christ. You can go to Jesus Christ all by yourself. Now, there has to be a place where you do that. You need a place to be able to be that overcomer. You have to have a personal walk with Jesus Christ. You have to decide that you're going to turn off the world, you're going to turn off your friends, you're going to turn off the television, you're going to turn off the radio, you're going to turn off those around you, and you get alone with God. One of the reasons that people quit living for God is because they do not have a personal walk with Jesus Christ. When people come in and they say, well, I tell you what, things are not going well in my life. I'm discouraged. I'm down. I feel like quitting. First thing I ask them, bar none, how was your Bible reading this morning? How was your Bible reading this morning? What did you get out of your Bible this morning? You know, most of the time, here's what they said. Or they say, I didn't get nothing out of my Bible this morning because I didn't read it. Here's what I'll say next. What'd you get out of your Bible yesterday morning? Well, preacher, you know life is busy. Yes, and I can tell you your life is so busy that you have cut God out of the equation in your life, and that's how come you're discouraged. That's how come you feel like quitting. That's how come you feel like throwing in the towel, because there is nobody that can make it apart from Jesus Christ. You sit here this morning and you say, well, I'll tell you what, I come to church and I don't get anything out of it like I used to. I promise you, it was when you used to get something out of it that you walked with God. You say, well, I tell you what, my prayer life is not what it ought to be. I promise you, dear friend, that your prayer life was what it ought to have been when you walked with God. You say, but you don't understand, the pressures of this present world is surrounding me and hurting me and trying to destroy me. And I'm telling you, you have probably sacrificed your walk with God to the point and to the place where there is no power coming down in your life, and there is no help coming down in your life, and there is no salvaging that's coming down in your life, simply because of the fact that you decided that you were not going to walk with God. Your wife cannot help you. Your husband cannot help you. Your child cannot help you. Your preacher cannot help you. That man that stands as your Sunday school teacher cannot help you. There's only one person that can help you to make it in living your Christian life, and that is God Almighty. Amen. Say amen. I want you to see something this morning. You see that there has to be a place to overcome. You have to get alone with God. Look, stop bellyaching about how things used to be, and stop bellyaching about how things are, and you decide that you're going to walk with God and make things the way they should be in your personal life. You know why some people, you know, it's neat to know the Bible, isn't it? You know why some people come back on Sunday night? Because they don't get enough on Sunday morning. You know why some people come back on Wednesday night? Because Sunday morning and Sunday night is not enough. You ever do this? Brother Butler was my afternoon partner for soul winning and visiting. We went to a house, knocked on the door, and they were getting ready to eat supper. Boy, did it smell good. Man, the aroma just flowed out the door. And my stomach said, feed me. I looked at Brother Butler and I said, hey, we can't come back for an hour anyway. Let's go get something to eat. He said, where do you want to go? And we decided where to go. And we went in there and we fed our stomachs. By the way, it was good. I didn't, however, get hungry until we opened that door and took a woof. When we opened that door, that aroma came out. I was consumed. And I thought, I got to eat. Man, let's get something to eat. And so we went down and got something to eat. Now, wait a minute. Did you know a person that hungers and thirsts after righteousness will never get enough? For the Christian that only is satisfied with a Sunday morning message, let me tell you why. You don't have enough hunger and thirst after righteousness. For a person that only comes Sunday morning and Sunday night, let me tell you what your problem is, and I love you, but you don't have enough hunger and thirst after righteousness. Because when a person truly has a hunger and thirst after righteousness, they don't get enough. Have you ever done this? You open up a bag of chips and you eat one, but one is never enough. Now, don't admit your guilt, but I wonder how many of you have opened up a bag of potato chips and you ate the whole thing. You ever go to Starbucks and you walk in and you're thinking, when I go to Starbucks, I'm just going to get a little one. And you walk in there and you look, I'm just going to get a little one. And then you walk up to the counter and say, but that's only 20 cents more. And for the big one, that's only 50 cents more. So while I'm here, I might as well. Hello? You ever go to one of those places where you go through the line and eat? Come on. And you say, I'm going to be the one that exercises self-discipline. Self-control. So when I go, I'm only going through once. And I'm just going to eat the stuff that I know is low-calorie intake. That's what I'm going to do. And then you get there, and you lose all disciplinary conviction. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. Here's what the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about how if you want to be that one that's an overcomer, then you need more than just the average guy. If you're going to be that one that's an overcomer, you've got to get to a point and a place where you hunger and you thirst after righteousness and you just can't get enough of it. It's not enough just to come to church and just show up on a Sunday morning. That's not enough. It's not enough to just show up on a Sunday night. It's just not enough. It's not enough just to show up on Wednesday night. It's just not enough. And a person says, when's the next conference coming? I can't wait. And when are we going to have more preaching? And preacher, why are you preaching so short? Why don't you preach for 3 hours? You see, I'm saying this, that there's a place to overcome. Statement number two, there's got to be a person in overcoming. Here's what it says, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7. Remember them that have the rule over you, who have spoken, it says, unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. All right, so there's got to be a person involved. You don't get upset, but you need somebody in your life that has the love for you and the concern for you and that has the endearment of the heart for you, that loves you enough to tell you what you don't have guts enough to tell yourself. And don't get mad at the preacher. Preacher gets up here and he says, "Yeah," and he spits out fire. You know, or the spittle comes out. That's holy water. Man, don't get mad at the preacher. Look, a preacher is not worth his salt if he don't step on your toes every so often. You know, don't go to a church that's always, oh, the love of God, the love of God. Look, I get sick. Now, you're going to get mad at me probably, but you're here now, so it's okay. I get sick and fed up with these motivational, lovey-dovey type of preachers that will not preach truth because they're afraid that somebody's going to leave. Man, I would hate to walk on eggshells like that all my life. And by the way, if you stay here long enough, there's going to be a day when I make you mad. The true test of your Christianity is if you can take it and still stay. Now, wait a minute. Here's what we understand. We understand this, that there's a place to overcome. You have to have a place. Look, get rid of this junk, would you? Well, I'm not going to come all the time because I don't agree with everything he says. Oh. You look in the mirror and you don't even agree with everything you say. You know, you're not going to find the perfect church, and if you ever did, the minute you joined it, you'd ruin it. Because you're not a perfect individual. I know. I've talked to your wife. Look, I'm saying this. I'm saying there has to be a place. Look, take your pastor off trial. Take your preacher off trial. Just decide that, hey, this is a place that God has me. This is a place that God has put me. This is a place I'm going to plug in. And by the way, until you do that, you will never serve God to the capacity that you ought to serve God. Look, just decide I'm going to give it everything I've got. And by the way, if you don't give it everything you've got here, going someplace else, you're the same person. What makes you think because you change your environment that you're going to be closer to God? Has nothing to do with your environment. Has everything to do with your heart. I'm saying this, there has to be a place where you plug in. There has to be a person that you allow to help you to be able to be an overcomer. Statement number three, there has to be preaching. You know what preaching is? Let me tell you what preaching is. Preaching is teaching, you ready for this? Set on fire. That's what preaching is. Now, my Bible says you need preaching. Well, you know, I want to attend one of those churches where they have a bar stool. Well, first off, that would shock me. I want to attend one of those churches where they have a bar stool and the preacher comes up in blue jeans and he has a shirt on that's a Hawaiian type of shirt and it's not tucked in and he gives you a little fireside chat. That's not how God changes people. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18, says, for the preaching, that is teaching caught on fire. Well, you know, preacher, if you raise your voice, somebody's going to get mad. If that's what they're looking for and they get mad, they're going to get mad anyway. You know what I found out years ago about leadership? No matter which way you lead, somebody's going to get mad. Doesn't matter. You go this way, they're going to get mad. You go this way, they're going to get mad. You go this way, they're going to get mad. You know what I resolved years ago? I think I'll just go God's way and let God take care of everything else. Oh, here's what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us, watch it, which are saved, it is the power of God. Okay, guys, have you said your first amen yet? Have you? Good. Have you made it to your second one yet? Not yet. Work on it. Okay? Here we go. Here's what it says. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. All right, so God said this. For when there is preaching, you understand this? To some people, that's foolish. Why do I want to go to church and somebody get up and holler? Why do I want to get up and go to church someplace where somebody's going to shake the pulpit? Why do I want to go to church? Somebody beating up the pulpit. Because that's called preaching. Don't go to a dead church. Oh, doesn't it bother you? You know why America's going to hell in a handbasket? Doesn't it bother you? Guy's more concerned about his hairdo, his prestige. He walks up feminine. Doesn't that quirk you? He gets up from the chair. He walks over real dainty like. He's got his little hip moving. you know, he sways from right to left. Hello? And you say, well, that's where most people are going. I differ with you. There's people by a great movement today that's looking for the old way. They're looking for the Bible. They're looking for truth. They're looking for a place where God is majored on and God is on fire and people are excited and people are coming out of that social movement, that junk. They're going back to old-fashioned religion, old-fashioned preaching. Hey, you don't look for something that calls you to take your foot and sway with the movement. You look for the power of God. You look for that which is preaching. You get back to the point and to the place where God can come through. That's what's going to change your home. That is what's going to change your young person. Well, I'm afraid if I get them into something like this, they're going to go into shock trauma. Well, that's okay. We'll get Brother Palmore to give them mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. He'll be he's not feeling good right now, so he's got this issue going on. So he'll be giving mouth to mouth, puh, puh. All the spittle's coming out in all different colors. Puh, puh. He leans over and he says, "Now I'm ready for you." All of a sudden that person becomes alive in Jesus, amen. I'm saying this morning there has to be a place to overcome. Gotta be a place. By the way, the place is not the bar. Place is not the dance studio. Place is not the movie house. Well, I tell you what, I'm going to go down to the social club. It's not the social club. Come on. I said, I sold it the other day. Talked to a guy, and I said, he said, well, I go down to so-and-so-and-so church. I said, why do you go? He said, man, because that's where I can fellowship. Now, can I help you a little bit? Fellowship is good. But if you go to a church and you get fellowship, but you don't get on fire, you're in the wrong place. Man, I believe preaching ought to be like it used to be. There was a day when America was on fire for God. You know why? Because you didn't have a bunch of cowards that filled the pulpit. You had guys that got up and said, hey, this is what the Bible says, and it's about time that we get on board. We're not going to bring God down to our living. We're going to take our living up to God. And they decided that God would be right. Oh, listen to it. Here it is. How do you be an overcomer? Has to be a place. Has to be a person. Has to be preaching. Here we go. You ready? What does preaching produce? 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. The Bible says, and Elijah came onto all the people. So he's coming out to the people. He says this, how long, it says, halt ye between two opinions? He said, if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered, not a word. So here's what he said. He said that, this type of preaching, this type of truth, you know what it does? It puts you in a spot. It puts you under the spotlight. And you are forced to make a decision. Woo! You know what that is? That's called pressure. That's called pressure. Stand up, if you will. One of my sons here on staff, God bless you. We would travel for 3 and 4 hours to hear a man of God preach. Would we not? We'd go hear some of the greatest preachers in the world. Now, why do we do that? Because who you put in front of your young person whets their appetite of who they will become like. Okay, ready? Walk into the average teenage bedroom in America. Rock stars are on the wall. You're going to get mad at me. But you're here now. Pull out the average type of CDs that people listen to. Say, preacher, you shouldn't be saying this on a Sunday morning. You're trying to get them to come back. I've got a friend here that's a visitor. And if you say what you're about to say, they'll never come back. If I say what I'm about to say, they might actually change so that they love coming back. Hey, pull out the average CD. Rock music, immorality, drugs, rebellion. What you listen to reveals who you are. Hey, look at the average person that's their hero. You can tell who their hero is by the way they dress, way they comb their hair, makeup they wear. You can tell. You can tell who they're following. Now, wait a minute, watch this, if you will. Here's what you understand. You understand that preaching will produce a pressure. It will. Well, I can't believe that preacher had the audacity to say that you ought to come back on a Sunday night. That's called pressure. Well, I can't believe that preacher had the audacity. Get up there and say, you're supposed to come to church on a Wednesday night. It's called pressure. Now, can I tell you something? People that are not yielded to God don't like pressure. Did you know that? They come to church and they say, I want to go to a comfortable church. Matter of fact, I'm looking for my lazy boy recliner rocking chair when I get there. It's got my name on it. I don't want to go to a church where the man of God actually believes the Bible enough to preach it. I want comfortable Christianity. That's what I want. And in your comfortable state of being, you will never do anything for Jesus Christ. Won't do it. Never have a desire to visit a mission field. Never. Probably never pass out a gospel tract. Probably never talk to anybody about Jesus. Last thing on your mind is, I can't wait to get out of church because I'm going to go eat. Last thing on your mind, Jesus. Well, I can't wait to get out of church because I tell you what, I have done my service and I came to church on a Sunday morning. Never gave it a thought about coming back Sunday night. Hello? All of a sudden, the leather lung preacher gets up one day and he says, yeah! And you sit there and go, oh. And you hear it. Now, all of a sudden, Holy Ghost of God uses that. You know what he does? Causes pressure. You know what pressure does? Pressure forces you to make a decision. Forces you. Puts you on the spot. Now you're forced to make a decision. Watch this. I'm almost done. Here we go. Thank you. Be seated. It has to be a place for you to overcome. A person. Preaching. Preaching produces pressure. Here we go. Almost done. Pressure will produce a practice. Okay, watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. I've been here for 3 years. Watch this. I have people now waking up and saying, oh, I get it. And I'm thinking, well, I've been saying it for 3 years. But here's what happens. If you say it long enough, somebody all of a sudden, I get it. Okay? So that pressure eventually, okay, why do you go to work and go to work on time? Because your boss said you had to. I wasn't being mean to Brother Nash. I said, Brother Nash, let me tell you who we are. Now, I'm not asking you who you are. I'm telling you, here's who we are. I said, let me tell you what I expect out of your wife. Because if you're coming, you're bringing the family. You're not leaving them in West Virginia. So let me tell you exactly what I expect out of your wife. Let me tell you exactly what I expect out of your kids. I'm talking about your daughter, your three sons. Let me tell you exactly, your four sons, exactly what I expect out of your kids. Now, by the way, I said this. If you can't handle it, don't come. I don't want the grief. I don't want the problems. I enjoy life. I am not going to spoon feed you. Hello. And he said, oh, man, preacher, this is like heaven. This is wonderful. This is who we are. Well, this is great. I'm excited. I thought he was going to jump through the phone. All right, now, wait a minute. Watch this. That pressure produces, by the way, have you said three amens yet? Yeah, how many? How many? You got three? You did? How many you got? Four? Wow. It's amazing. That pressure produces practice. Look at it. Romans chapter 12 and verse 21 says, be an overcomer of evil. It says, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So here's what God says. You ready for this, Brother Watkins? This is good stuff. How is it that I overcome evil? I overcome evil with good. That's how I overcome it. You ought to practice so much goodness in your life, you don't have time for evil. You ought to practice so much Bible truth in your life that you don't have time for evil. Somebody this morning is using their time for something. You are using your time to be in church. You know what you did by being in church this morning? You overcame evil with good. You know what you'll do when you come to church tonight? You're going to overcome evil with good. And by the way, when you do stuff like that, don't you feel good about it? Sure you do. You know what happens when you come to church on a Wednesday night? You overcome evil with good. You know what happens when you go out and you might not even know how to talk to anybody about Jesus. You might not know how to do that. But you know what happens? When you go up to somebody and you give them a track. I was out soul winning yesterday, passed that track, so I went up to one guy, gave him this. I said, man, I want to give you this because for no other reason, you need a picture of the baby in your life. There's a baby there that's full of kisses and you look like you need some encouragement. I said, man, take the track. I said, on the back of the track, it tells you how you can know for sure you're going to go to heaven. By the way, got a question for you. Do you know it? Do you know it? If you died right now, where are you going? Only two places, heaven or hell. Where are you going? He said, I don't know. I said, okay, this is your gift. Turn it over. Let's read it together. Amen. I learned how to read years ago. I could do that. Let's turn it over. Let's read it together. Read it together, bowed his head, received Christ as Savior. I said, now where are you going? He said, heaven. He said, you know what's neat? That little boy on the front has all those kisses on it. I feel like I've just been kissed by God. I said, you have. Hey, anybody can pass out a tract. Anybody can give somebody good news. You say, I'm so far backslidden, preacher, that I haven't talked to anybody about Jesus in a long time. Go out there, open your purse, put in 50 tracks, just decide this week, I'm just going to give them all out until they're gone. Hello? Well, preacher, I'm so far away from God, I don't think that God can use me. If God, I'm not being mean. But if God can use a dove, and God can use a donkey, God can use all sorts of other animals in the Bible, then God can use a human, even if that human is you. Hello? Come on. I've got a burden for my friends because my friend's on drugs. Give him a track. Say, read it. It'll change your life. Read it. Give him a track. Well, I've got a friend, they're going through marital struggles. I just don't know if the... Give them a track. Read it. Well, I've got a friend, he's thinking about committing suicide. Hey, before you pull the trigger, read it. I'm saying this. There's a place to overcome, a person to help you to overcome. There's preaching. The preaching turns into pressure. Pressure turns into practice. Practice will give you a purpose. You know, if you practice something long enough, it becomes personable to you and purposeful for you. It becomes a purpose when you practice it long enough. Come on, somebody joins the choir and they say, I just can't get it down. You practice it long enough, you get a goal, it becomes personable, and it becomes your purpose. Let me give you, this is a statement, one more, here we go. Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 and 12. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Listen to this. Therefore, he requested the priest of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He purposed. Let me give it to you. I'm done. Has to be a place, person, preaching. Preaching turns into pressure. Pressure produces a practice. Practice produces a purpose. Last thing, persistent. If you stay at it long enough, you become persistent. I got saved when I, 1979, 18-year-old boy. 18-year-old boy. As far as I know, I've only missed church, a church service, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I've only missed a church service two times in my entire life since salvation, 1979. When I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, I decided I'm going to have a purpose. I decided Christ is going to be my purpose. Obeying God is going to be my purpose. Now, wait a minute, watch this. Here's what it says. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You say, well, preacher, you've been coming to all those church services because that's what you do. Yeah, but that's what I did before I became a preacher. See, I decided that God was just going to be first, period. When I was a businessman, he was first. When I owned my own business, he was first. When I worked for somebody else, he was first. Wait a minute. Watch what it says. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. God said, I tell you what, you will reap this in the end if you don't faint. You'll reap it if you don't faint. Well, preacher, you know, I'm a long ways off from that. I mean, matter of fact, the other night I preached on purity. You ought to get online and listen to it. But I preached on purity the other night, and I handed out little words that said pure. And I asked people to come to the platform and make a decision that they're going to be pure from this day forward. And I said, now what you need to do, you need to flip that thing over. If this is the day that you decided you were going to be pure from this day forward, you write it down, put it somewhere you can remember it, and look back at it. Hey, we have to do the same thing about faithfulness. Do the same thing about walk with God. Do the same thing about living for God. You have to make decisions in your life that are life decisions, and you've got to do that. There's got to be a time in your life and my life where we just grow up and embrace Christianity for how God expects us to embrace it. Did you get that? There has to be a time in your life where you put aside your feelings and you put aside your penny-ante stuff and you say, God, I know what you want and I don't care what my flesh wants and I don't care what my relatives want and I don't care what the neighbors want, but God, I'm putting you first and I don't care if it hair lips the devil. You have to decide to do that. Because a year from now, if you don't, you'll be the same as you are right now, miserable. Hello? I'm saying today, be an overcomer. You can do that. You can only do it with God's help.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.